ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Online, it feels like the answer is always yes. Yes to cookies, yes to tracking, yes to data sharing. I'm Ray Johnston, and in Opt Out, I find out what happens when you finally say no. Opt Out, a special series on Download This Show, ABC Radio National. To hear it, search for Download This Show wherever you get your podcasts or hear it on the ABC Listen app.
Hey, it's Sana here from All in the Mind from ABC Radio National. We are replaying some of our most popular episodes from 2025, and this one goes out to anyone currently in the dating trenches.
It's like your body shrivels up into a little raisin, like you're like this beautiful, fruitful plum, and then you're just like...
Let me tell you a modern dating story.
It feels unfair to the other person because it's just like, this is just like literally a physical reaction that I'm having right now. Mm. I don't want to be having it, but sometimes it's just like, that's the noise that my body is making.
And this story is called The Ick. Act One, Michaela and the Dating Apps.
I had been dating the same kind of guy for a while, and it was like a bad boy. So I was like, okay, it's time to maybe review my selections and move away from my normal type. So someone on one of the apps liked me, and in his profile, he looks like a really, really lovely guy. Like, he had lots of female friends, like a diverse kind of friendship circle from all of his photos. He was interested in food.
It was all looking good until
I swiped down to this one photo where he was wearing a Kangol, and then I swiped down to the second photo and he was wearing this like felt fedora. And I was like, oh.
The problem with hats, specifically fedoras, is they give Michaela the ick. If you're not familiar with that term, we'll explain what it means in a moment, but you can probably guess.
And I feel like as soon as I say that, I'm like, oh, I've got the ick.
She knows this hat thing is a bit silly and definitely minor in the grand scheme of things, but still a turnoff to her. To each their own, right?
But then I was like, okay, this is my opportunity to overcome something. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's not the hats. It's probably me. And so I decided to look past it and went on a date with this guy.
Which brings us to Act Two, the date.
He, of course, showed up in the felt fedora.
Oh, God.
And I saw him coming from down the street and I was like, oh, no, what is he doing with that bloody hat on? And then he got to the restaurant and then it turned into like this comedy scene because I had put so much like impetus on this hat,
right,
and it being a problem for me. So then he like got there and then he couldn't find somewhere to put the hat because he was such a gentleman. He was like, well, I can't wear my hat at dinner.
Why couldn't he just put the hat down on your table at dinner?
Well, I think it took up so much surface area.
Okay, right.
And he didn't really want to put it on his lap because then that's weird. And we were sitting on these bar stools. So he couldn't like just put it on the back of the chair. It was like, it ended up going on this, like, there was like this sort of retail element of the restaurant with like pasta and like pasta sauce. And like, and then I just put the hat on the top corner of these shelves. And like, it just was so out of place and so weird. And all the staff were just like, what are you doing? But he
did. Oh my God. As though he like karmically, like your hat aversion was being poked at and niggled.
Literally.
Extra hard.
Literally.
This is All in the Mind. I'm Sana Qadar. And if you're in the dating trenches or on TikTok or a consumer of shows like Love Island or Nobody Wants This, you know what the ick is. And if you don't, well, it's that sudden feeling of cringe or disgust people can get when they're in the early phase of getting to know someone.
It was like a whole body experience. I will never see that person the same way again.
Icks are different to red flags. They're often a bit dumb, a bit superficial, a bit mean even. What are some of the more ridiculous icks you've heard of?
I guess a lot around walking, which escapes me why. Like walking downhill and the hip moves in a funny way.
But they can also be pretty reasonable.
I get the ick when a guy is eating and he wipes his dirty fingers on his clothes.
Ew, that is definitely icky. Either way, this is not just a sign of Gen Z or millennials becoming too picky or a symptom of society becoming too individualistic and judgy, all of which the ick has been tied to, it turns out there's a lot going on behind this feeling. The ick tells us something about mate selection. It can hint at your attachment style. It can tell you about your own insecurities and fears. So today, we dig into the curse of the ick and the psychology behind it. Let's start at the end. Act 3 of Michaela's dating story, because the universe or karma or whatever had just one more trick to play with her ick.
We sat through dinner. It was fine. He was very lovely. And then at the end of dinner, we were leaving and we're about 50 meters up the road. And I was like, he left the hat there. It's so good. And I was like, maybe this is a sign that he's like, you know, a nice guy and it's worth taking on. And then we got to the end of the street and we're like, oh no, I forgot my hat. And then he ran back to the restaurant and got it. And I was like, oh God. And then, yeah, it turns out we didn't see each other after. We went on a second date.
Oh, you did make it to a second date.
We did, but it was a bad second date. So yeah.
Because of the hat or other reasons?
Maybe a mixture of both. But I feel like the hat is like a symbol to me of the type of guy that he was potentially. He had like this sort of like quirky energy that was very sweet, but I just couldn't, I don't know, I couldn't get around it for some reason.
It's been a while since I've been in the dating game, about, gosh, 15 years or so, but I don't remember using the word or the term the ick back then. We might have said something was a turnoff or embarrassing, but not the ick. And that word is different to the others in a way because it seems to describe something so much more visceral, like a repulsion, a disgust. So when did it become a thing?
So I tried to actually find what's the first evidence we have. And I think the first one we have, Friends' first season, someone mentioned getting the ick.
Oh, did they?
That was 1995 or 1996.
Wow. I looked this up and that episode of Friends was titled The One with the Ick Factor. And it was about Monica accidentally sleeping with a 17-year-old who had lied about his age. Definitely ick, if not worse. But the term has only seeped into wider consciousness in recent years, thanks to TikTok, where you can find young people describing all manner of icks.
Girls who pretend to be drunk.
Getting off a chairlift, it's just like a little bit of an ick.
When he's in the backseat of the car and looks through the small window.
When he trips over things. But this one's mean, but it's so embarrassing.
I guess the old icks I read about, in both in research and in heard in sessions, they're not really logical if you think about it.
So this is clinical psychologist Adam Horvath. He has a private practice in Sydney where he works mostly with young professionals. And he first started noticing clients mentioning the ick a few years ago.
And it just keeps popping up here and there. Like it's not the most common thing I've worked with, I have to say, but it has been fairly consistent.
And he says it's almost entirely young women who seem to be raising this with him.
You know, early 20s, mid-20s, trying to find a partner, long-term partner, who otherwise, like from objectively speaking, they don't have any concerns from clinical perspective, like why they couldn't find a partner. They report that they go on dates and then, you know, this exact thing happens, is that on the second, third day, they start seeing real big problems with the potential mates. Mm-hmm. I got the ick again because this happened.
Have you had many clients who are male who have also brought up the ick in sessions, or has it been mostly women for you?
By far females. I would say, I'm just trying to think, maybe there was one guy who had one, but it wasn't really the major issue for him. And I think he said the ick once, so it wasn't really the recurrent pattern.
Okay. Yeah, that is so interesting because I've wondered whether it is a gender thing, because most of the posts that I've come across anyways relating to the ick are young women. And even in my own circles, you know, it's mostly, it seems to be women who talk about the ick. Why do you think it's a gender thing?
Oh, good question. I guess, so it's true that data does back it up. Regarding who knows about the ick, it's like 6 out of 10 ladies and only 4 out of 10 blokes, give or take, based on the research we have. And about 3/4 of the ladies can experience the ick and only about half the blokes. So your experience and my experience is backed up by research.
That research was published just this year in a paper called The Ick: Disgust Sensitivity, Narcissism, and Perfectionism in Mate Choice Thresholds. Now that gives you a pretty big clue about some of the factors that can make a person more prone to this feeling. But I want to zoom out first and talk big picture for a moment, because the ick isn't just the result of our individual issues. Evolutionary psychology offers some explanation for why we can get this feeling. And Adam says something called the asymmetric cost of mating helps us understand why women, in heterosexual relationships at least, might be more prone to the ick.
So obviously from male perspective, the cost of mating is, like, historically, is really low.
And for men.
They don't, yes, yeah.
Yeah, they just do the deed and move on.
Yes, yeah. But for obviously for females, it's a huge cost, both emotionally and biologically, and then being, like, having to raise the little one, even if the male moves on.
Yeah.
So I guess females just tend to be, like, if you look at from evolutionary perspective, more picky because they want to pick the males who are likely to stick around and help. So this is a strong asymmetric approach to dating. And it's, if you think about it, it really applies these days as well. Blokes by and large, like, I'm generalizing,
yeah.
But blokes by and large are less picky than ladies when it comes to dating. Even if you look at any stats on dating platforms, you know, the ladies have effectively infinite messages coming in,
yeah.
And blokes on the other side just sending messages to a large number of ladies.
Right, right.
So it's a little bit around this one. This is the same reason, I guess, the ick more likely to happen in ladies, because it's effectively picking or deselecting potential mismatch.
I get the ick when a man has really long hair but doesn't wash it.
One category of icks that seems to be quite common on TikTok anyways has to do with physical awkwardness. So women, mostly, saying their icks are when a guy trips or slips or walks downhill or tries a new sport.
Obviously, when you try anything new, you're not really good at it. So you're fumbling around, but some people would say this is terrible and this is the end of the relationship.
These icks seem especially weird to me and kind of mean, because who amongst us escapes life without doing one of these things at some point or another? Like, who in the history of Earth has lived and not tripped?
You know, in addition to this idea that we want people that feel warm and trustworthy, when we're looking for romantic partners, the other kind of qualities that we look for is the extent to which people have vitality and they're attractive and they look energetic.
This is Jerry Karansis, couples counselor and professor of social psychology and relationship science at Deakin University. He says evolutionary psychology offers an explanation for this kind of ick as well.
So, you know, if you're giving off signals of lethargy, of clumsiness, it may relate to that, right?
Okay.
Like, you know, if someone is tripping, if it looks like they're accident prone, maybe it's sending a signal to someone about the reliability of someone, you know, their ability to be able to sense danger, to be, you know, am I with someone who needs protection versus them being able to protect me?
Which makes me wonder if the ick has to do with gender norms, whether it tends to kick in heterosexual relationships, at least, when someone contravenes some kind of gender norm.
Girls who pretend to be drunk.
Like, when a woman acts drunk rather than ladylike, or when a man fails to be physically dominant or in control because he's tripped.
Number two, when he trips over things.
Or when a guy wears a fashion item, like a fedora.
Sort of like dress wear hats. As soon as I say that, I'm like, oh, I've got the ick.
I know these aren't a whole lot of examples to be going off, but I put this question to Jerry.
It's speculation, but whether you talk about it as, whether you define it in terms of gender norms or norms generally.
Right.
Expectations we have that govern the world. I think any time that people deviate from those particular norms, our understanding of the world, it does agitate us. So whether we talk about the ick as some form of agitation, as a manifest of people behaving in ways that are in contrast to our worldviews or not, that is, you know, that is possible.
Some research we have on what categories of icks people report. And I guess there's some views on the looks or masculinity or the lack of masculinity. I remember reading one of them was, if the guy puts his head on the shoulder of the lady, that some people find that as an ick.
Oh, that's so mean. That's lovely.
Well, depends who you ask.
Right.
Because I guess, like, very stereotypically, it should be the other way around.
Right.
So you could make this argument that it's not a masculine trait, and then that could be a, you know, reason to discard.
Okay, so evolution, mate selection, gender norms, these are broad explanations for why we sometimes get the ick. Let's now scale down to the individual. Is there a particular type of person that's more likely to be prone to ics?
I think those that have particularly high standards and aren't willing to deviate from the standards of what they want in a partner. Because what we do know and what the literature tells us, that if you set particularly high and highly specific standards, often those standards are set so high that everyone dissatisfies you in some way, shape or form.
Mm.
The challenge with that is, though, that we often also miss out, or we don't give oxygen to potential romantic partners that may actually be a very good match for us.
So sometimes what I see, these, you know, very high achieving people have real difficulties accepting their own faults and then other people's faults as well. Even though from the outside, objectively, they are really amazing people. They, you know, have great jobs, great friends, and so on and so forth. But deep inside, that's not how they feel. They have this critical voice towards someone else because they can't live up to this expectation either.
Another element that comes into it is the extent to which people have kind of destiny, fixed-based views about finding the one, versus having more of a growth mindset around relationships. And that destiny growth mindset approach was popularized and well-researched by Carol Dweck generally, but it has been applied to relationships. So if in your mind's eye, you have a particular image of a person, not only about the qualities, but how they look, how they're going to behave, the size of their bank account, and you name it, and that if no one else aligns with that view, then it makes it very easy to feel icky about people that don't seem to be the one. It's a sign. It's the world telling us this isn't the person who is bound to be my soulmate or who I'm destined to be with.
This ties into that paper I mentioned earlier, which found that people who have narcissistic traits or perfectionistic traits are also more likely to experience the ick. I will say that paper only has a sample size of 125 people, so it's not huge, but it is one of the very few papers out there on this topic, so it's what we have to go on for now. And the other thing that paper highlights is disgust sensitivity. How sensitive you are to feeling disgust can influence how likely you are to feel the ick.
For some people, they have greater tolerance. Some people, that disgust response comes up really, really fast and far more quickly. It's probably because they may have had particular experiences in the past, whether they remember or not, that have made them feel a great deal of disgust, and that's still very prominent in their mind, and it keeps them vigilant.
And then the final factor I'll mention that can influence why someone feels the ick is their attachment style.
One of the biggest ones is the attachment style, which is a very complicated area. So broadly, how comfortable or not comfortable you are in closeness in romantic relationships. People who are not too comfortable, we refer to it as the insecure attachment, especially the avoidant attachment style. So it's a little bit cold and distant. Those people have struggles with the closeness and intimacy, and they very likely or more likely to experience the ick because that's one of the reasons they can get out of a relationship.
Right.
So, hey, don't look at me. This person has some major flaw, such as drinking milk, so I'm out.
Right. Basically, for people with an avoidant attachment style, the ick can act as a handy eject button. They can reject someone without thinking too deeply about what they're bothered about and why, and without having to talk about it. And the troubling thing is, Adam says the avoidant attachment style has become more common over time.
And the data really backs this up. We noticed, like, let's say from late 80s to 2010-15, the number of people who we could identify as having an avoidant attachment style increased by 50%.
Oh, wow.
It was just substantial.
Why? Do we know why?
Well, this, in psychology, the why is the hardest question.
Right.
So I would have guesses, but it would be very, you know, who knows if it's at all
Can
true.
Can I hear your guesses?
Oh. Look, it a little bit fits along the lines of society's moving a little bit to the more individualistic approaches. I guess like some societies are more collectivist style and some are more individualistic. And globally, we started to move towards this very individualistic approach. So that can partly influence this.
Right. Okay. That's interesting. So it feels like more often than not, potentially the ick is actually a reflection of your own issues than any real problem with the partner that you're writing off.
I mean, it's very obvious, but it's true. Yeah.
right.
Because I guess, you know, if you think about it, like, you know, the all the examples we spoke about already, like someone's drinking milk or trying a new sport or whatever that is, is not really a reason to dismiss any partner. So it's obviously it's about us and our fears and maybe sometimes inability to connect.
But can the ick also just be a representation of a turnoff, a preference, like, you know, without this deeper psychology, avoidant attachment, blah, 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 behind it? Like, mm-hmm. can it sometimes just be telling you that person's not for you?
Oh, absolutely. And that's why it makes it a little bit tricky, because there are people who believe like ick is a real thing and we have to really pay attention. And there's some people say this is totally a made up thing and ridiculous. But obviously with all, you know, psychological research, the truth is somewhere in between in the gray zone.
Yeah.
So I agree with you that in some cases it's a genuine turnoff and it's sometimes we really want to get away from the person and having this gut feeling that something doesn't end up with this person is the right thing to do.
Right.
Saying that, you know, the ick is total made up and then whenever you have the ick, you're wrong, I don't think that's helpful either.
Right.
But when you're talking about fedoras and Ugg boots, it's like, well, maybe, maybe we went a bit too far.
Is there an ick you stand by that no matter what, you just can't get past?
I think it's got to be the felt fedora.
Right. A hard no, hard pass.
It's a hard no. It's a hard no. It's a bit too whimsical for me, I think.
Okay, we could argue about the merits of a fedora all day. Again, to each their own. But Michaela admits she can be especially quick to ick. Do you worry about your icks at all? Like, do you think you might have an ick problem that's actually possibly a commitment problem? Sorry to get a bit deep here, but yeah.
No, that's fine. No, I think, to be honest, I feel like I used to get way more icked than I do now.
Oh, yeah.
But because I feel like it was just actually just being judgmental. Yeah. And sometimes it's like easy to get thrown off by one thing that one person says when actually you're just kind of like two people that have met each other for the first time and like, you can say something that comes out a bit wrong and then the other person's just like, oh God, I can't believe she said that or he said that or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So I feel like, I don't know, maybe I've matured a little bit and there's definitely still things that ick me, but then there's things that I'm just like, oh, I think that's just people being weird and being on first dates and not knowing the other person.
Yeah, I wonder if like icks, how much of the time icks are superficial, judgy kind of things that are actually like a defense mechanism or whatever, or projection, versus actually you're not compatible and that's okay too.
Totally. I think it's a bit of column A and column B. Like I feel like because you're meeting this stranger and then I don't know, your time is precious as well. Like you don't want to be, you've got to sort of make these quick decisions in a way sometimes because you're like, well, I don't want to just be on a date with you for 3 hours if you're like everything you're saying is kind of annoying me or I'd find really off-putting. But then at the same time, if it's just like the way that they, I don't know, like slick back their hair that you find icky, then that's probably... That's probably a little bit too far to the judgmental side and maybe a bit unreasonable.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you think there were decent people that you wrote off because of an ick back when you were being more ick prone than you are now? Like, were there any icks who got away?
Icks who got away. But, oh my God, I wish I could remember. There's just been so many. I would say yes, definitely.
And do you have any sense of whether you've ever given anyone the ick?
I probably have, to be honest. I hope not, because I'm so easily cringe. So I feel like maybe that means I'm uncringeable.
Well, I suppose one person's like delightfulness is another person's cringe, you know?
Exactly.
I will say, I'm kind of glad the ick wasn't a thing back when I was dating. Because sure, there were some superficial things that I didn't exactly like when dating my now husband, for example, like a particular piece of clothing or whatever. Sorry, Ben, if you're listening. But I didn't have this label to slap on that feeling, potentially blowing it out of proportion. Or maybe that's not quite right either. Maybe we just clicked fundamentally, and so any small, minor turnoffs didn't matter. Whereas in other circumstances, they could have mattered enough to end the relationship. I raise this point, though, because as we've discussed on the show before, labels have power. And sometimes, instead of naming something to tame it, as the mental health saying goes, naming something unleashes it, makes it worse.
Yeah, you're onto something here.
My honest answer to that is, who knows?
So it's not really clear whether some people like identify with having an ick due to social pressure. So social pressure is one of the, you know, most replicable phenomena we have in social psychology research. So like social pressure is huge. And then if the ick is a thing, then what if I say this is not a thing? Would my peers reject me?
What I would say is, and I do see this sometimes in couples, is the knowledge that we gain, the terms that we gain, can be weaponized.
Mm-hmm.
You are this thing that I've heard about. I mean, here's a classic example of something. If I had a dollar for every time I had someone say to me, oh, they are a narcissist, I would go, well, I don't think we had evolved society to be filled with as many narcissists as are being proclaimed.
Right.
That would not be functional. And half the time when people are talking about narcissism, they're not even talking about some of the kind of key characteristics about it or realize that it's on a continuum. So that's one example of how things get weaponized.
But Jerry reckons we are becoming a bit too judgy and a bit too quick to ick, and partly that's down to how overwhelmed we all are.
One thing that has happened progressively in the modern world is that life has sped up. So our bandwidth is stretched, and we're being fed information that we're needing to process. And I think people think that knowledge is power, but I say that knowledge is confusion. Knowledge isn't power if you don't know what to do with it. Knowledge isn't power if you're not going to take the time to properly internalize it, to make sense of it.
Yeah, that makes me think about like the dating apps and how disposable people can seem on that. You know, there's always an endless other supply of people to try. And so if you write one person off, that's okay. There's like many others to swipe through.
Yes. And what we never know from those dating apps is actual success rate. All we hear about is matches, but we don't know what the strikeout rate is. And what we do know is from market surveys that were done not that long ago, a couple of years ago, you know, millennials were spending up to 9.5 to 10 hours a week on dating apps.
Wow.
You know, so anytime that we're presented with information like that, we start to probably become less astute in our decision making. We objectify, we become a bit numb to it. So when we get these kind of emotions, we go, oh, I'm overwhelmed anyway. Oh, I'm not going to spend time worrying about this, or I'm not really going to invest in this particular person. They strike me as icky. But if we're not going to elaborate and kind of sit in that sometime, and be okay with this idea of introspection, then, you know, we may not be getting to the bottom of why we experience the things that we experience. And for all we know, down the track, at some point in time, they may come back to bite us because then we start to realize what the answer is really about, and we probably should have gotten to it earlier.
That is All in the Mind for this week. A big thank you to Jerry Karantzis, who is a couples therapist and a professor of social psychology and relationship science at Deakin University, where he's also the director of the Science of Adult Relationships Laboratory. Do you have an ick?
There would be things about all kinds of people and things in the world that irritate me. Would I refer to them as being icky? I think not.
Thanks also to Adam Horvath, a clinical psychologist in private practice in North Sydney. Do you have an ick?
No, I don't think I do.
And the biggest thank you to our millennial case study, Michaela, for being so honest and willing to poke fun at her icks. Are you back to your original type now, dating aloof bad boys after the fedora incident?
No, I'm back with the nice guys that I'm just being way more intentional and going for the normal looking guys that don't look bad or cringe.
This episode of All in the Mind was written, edited, and presented by me, Sana Kadar. Our producer is Rose Kerr, and senior producer is James Bullen. Our sound engineers this week were Tegan Nichols and Mickey Grossman. I want to say thank you also to you for listening, and I will catch you next week.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.